Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the first couple verses here at 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we're going to be reading here in a moment. I'll invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God if you're able to do so. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Tonight, I'm just going to talk about a simple question, a simple thought. How to be a good soldier. If you're saved, he has chosen you to be a soldier. You are a soldier. But we're going to look at what makes us a good soldier. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house, and I ask that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, may your word abound in our heart. We ask that you speak to us. We ask that your spirit would have free course in our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The Christian life is the life of a soldier, and there's no avoiding that. Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a statement. It's a reality. It is the reality. And there is no other way of looking at it. The Christian life is the life of a soldier. We wrestle against the flesh and blood. We wrestle against our own flesh. We wrestle against our lust. We wrestle against that which causes us to be tempted. We will wrestle against our pride. We wrestle against errant doctrine. There are things that we wrestle with. The Christian life is the life of a soldier. It is not the life of a, how would you say, it's not the life of a pacifist. There are instruction and there's commands in the Word of God that establishes there are times that we must rise to action. The Old Testament gives us replete situations where men of God, men and women of God, had to stand up to fulfill God's call in their life or his plan and purpose for the nation of Israel. I think of Moses multiple times. He had to stand up just because God said one thing, man chose to do something else, and we have to identify when our ways are not God's ways, and many times we got to say something. It's the life of a soldier. Phinehas, in the camp of Israel, when Israel was sinning against God, and they were suffering because of their sin, and they were continuing to allow this sin come into the camp, the Bible says Phinehas rose up, he identified the problem, and he took action. The Christian life is a life of a soldier. We have received orders. We've received marching orders. We've received instruction. We've received commands. And if you're saved, as I said a moment ago, if you're saved, you've been chosen to be a soldier. God has chosen you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's the life which you now live. You've been chosen. Are you a good soldier? First question tonight, are you a good soldier? I don't know. How do I identify a good soldier? What are the marks of a good soldier? Well, the Lord gives us what he expects out of a good soldier. And we're going to look at those things this evening. And I hope this will be a help to you because this is good instruction and encouragement for anyone. The Bible says that the verse we read, verse 1, we'll read it again. Thou therefore, as we understand, Paul's talking to Timothy. He's talking to someone that he had considered himself a father in the faith. And Timothy is someone that he had trained and he is taking the place of much of his ministry. But he tells Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he encourages in verse number 2 to commit the instruction and the truth to other witnesses who shall be able to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. But he says in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. So we are presented with a thought in Scripture that by command and by principle, God would desire each of us to be a good soldier. If I were, not that this would ever happen, but if I were ever to go to war, I would not want bad soldiers around me. I would want to be surrounded by good soldiers, because if the situation got tough and the times got tough and the bullets started flying and the explosions started happening all about, the good soldiers will stick with a plan. The good soldiers will stick with the purpose. Those that are not fade away. In the Christian life, fiery darts get thrown. They get hurled. The troubles come. The trials come. Pain comes. The difficulty comes. Instruction there. As a good soldier, endure hardness. We understand hardness is going to come. Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness. Hardness, it means hardship, severe labor, trials, sufferings. Not for me. I don't want any of that stuff in my life. I want to be comfortable. I'm being honest. I do. I want to be comfortable. But if I choose the comfortable life, we're not going to talk about any Air Force personnel, but if I choose the comfortable life, I will have no effect in my Christian life. If I choose, it's easier to sit on the couch and do nothing than it is to put effort into studying the Word of God. It's easier to do something that relaxes my mind than to put effort into praying to my Heavenly Father. It is easier to ignore the world passing by going to hell than it is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. There's a lot of things in life that's easier than following instruction, but the truth be told, there is difficulty that as a Christian I must endure. Now, mind you, the burden and the responsibility of the Christian to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ should not be considered a hardness or a hardship. But sometimes that's where we put, this is what's hard about the Christian life, because I have to live a testimony and have to testify. But that's not what hardness should be. We shouldn't even consider that. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. There's no reason for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to be considered a hardship. Yet many Christians, to them, it is a hardship to proclaim the goodness of God. Are you a good soldier? A good soldier will be proud of his leader. What is hardship? A definition I gave was out of the Webster's 1828. Hardness, hardship, severe labor. Who here, your dream job would involve hard labor? Does anybody want to go to work in a rock quarry with nothing but a little sledgehammer and a chisel? Hard labor. I don't think anybody, I don't even want that. I wouldn't want that. I enjoyed working at a lumber mill, but I don't want to work there now. There are things that are difficult. And in the Christian life, there can be severe labor. It takes effort to say no to the flesh. It's a battle to say, no, I don't want this in my life. This temptation is ungodly, it's wicked, it's full of sin, of the lust of the flesh, and I don't want this in my life. It takes effort to identify that as that's a problem, that's not of God, God hates unrighteousness, I want God instead of that. That can take work. The convenient path is, oh well, whatever happens, happens, I guess. Sadly, I believe that is probably the attitude of most Christians in most of the churches across our country. There's no stand against sin. There's no stand against morality, bad morality. It can be hard. Trials can come. Who's ready to sign up for trials? I'm not. I don't want trials in my life. In fact, I don't want trials in anybody's life. Their hardness is difficult. It's not fun. It hurts. There's pain involved. That's hardness. Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier. When one undergoes training for extensive physical engagements. It's not easy. It's not. It's not easy to work your body to the point where you can start lifting more weight and pulling your own weight and doing all the stuff that one would do as a soldier and build up your endurance and stamina to run for longer than I want to run. It's difficult. It's hard. In the Christian life, there's some hardness that needs to happen. There's some things that we need to go through in order for us to grow to the point that we can become usable. Now, here's an interesting thought. Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness. Trials come. Pain comes. It's a part of the Christian life. Often it's just how we grow up. Things that happen to us. Things that occur in our lives. Trials that come. Storms that come our way. But get this. There's two things that can happen to us as a Christian when hardness and trials come into our life. Something difficult happens. We can either endure it, and if we endure it, this is what happens. There's only one way to endure hardness. There's only one way to endure trials. There's only one way to endure pain, and that's to allow God to accomplish in your life what it is that He desires. There's a set of kitchen knives I have my eyes on. They're hardened steel. They've been folded 45 times. Those things are hard and they're sharp. But the process of producing them, which is why they're also expensive and I'm probably not going to get them, but that process involved a blast furnace, just heating the temperature up and continually banging the steel down, folding it over, banging the steel down. And they did this process 45 times. That blade endured hardness. That blade can now function as its designer envisioned. You know, He's the author and finisher of your faith. He has a plan that He's envisioned for each of our lives. But to get us from point A to point B involves a process. And this process might involve some hardness along the way. This process might involve some hardship along the way, some trials, a tempest, things that we cannot process and handle on our own. But we're not supposed to. If you want to endure hardness, there's only one way to endure hardness, and that is, my son, verse number one, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be strong in His grace. What's that mean? Being strong in His grace is basically getting to the point where you realize beyond any shadow of any doubt, I cannot do it. I need Him. To endure hardness is to turn the pain, the problem over to Christ. He tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. A good soldier endures hardness. A good soldier is strengthened from the trial. He's strengthened from the trial. But do you know what happens if a trial comes into your life and you seek a source other than God to allow you to endure? Something else happens. You either are going to endure or you are going to be entangled. Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are to endure hardness. If we endure hardness, it is as we give it to God. Enduring hardness is part of how we identify with Christ. Enduring hardness is as we strengthen our walk with Him. The more pain in our life literally means the closer we need to get to God. We endure pain by turning to God to deal with our hardships. It's part of what strengthens us. It was the pain that Christ endured that made the way for us to secure eternal life. It was His suffering that made the way for us. It was His trial that made the way for us. Really, he's asking us to do nothing other than just reflect his life in our life. We can endure hardness as a good soldier if we seek him. If we don't seek him and we seek another source, it will entangle us. Number one, we need to endure hardness. Number two, avoid entanglements. No man that warreth, in verse number four, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, we've been chosen to be soldiers. If you're saved, you've been chosen. You've been conscripted. You've been selected. You've been given the instruction to be a soldier. This life is a life of battle. It's a life of obtaining victory. I'll say this. It's the life of experience the victory that God has already won. But we war in the flesh. There must come a point in each of our lives, probably multiple times throughout the day, where we choose, I do not want my flesh. I do not want the sins that I am being tempted with. I want Christ instead. That is a war. The spirit lusts against the flesh. There is a battle, and it is going on, and it occurs in our lives on a daily basis. We will either war and say, no, I am not going to be entangled, or we will allow ourselves to lose that battle and, well, I'll seek what the world has. A lot of this ties in. If we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that is the focus that we need to be. The problem we often run into is that instead of enduring hardness by taking it to the cross and saying, God, this is too much for me. I need you. How many times do we seek something else? You know, if we seek something else to mask, cover, deal with the hardships and the pain in our lives, they become entanglements. You know why so many struggle with drugs, alcohol? Something happened in their life. This is not everybody, but the vast majority of people that have become addicted to drugs, something happened to their life, caused them to have a pain, something that they could not reconcile, so they turned to something that covered it. They became entangled. They did not endure hardness. They became entangled with a substitute solution for their pain. Dealing with a ranch, almost every single one of the men that at the ranch, as they struggle with their addictions or they struggle with their alcohol, there was a point in their life where something occurred that brought about a broken expectation on somebody else, which brought about anger in them, which brought about some other symptoms in their life. And before you knew it, the only recourse that they had was to try to drown themselves in something that numbed it. And it worked. But it didn't take care of the pain. So they turned back to it. And they turned back to it. Entanglements. We get entangled when we turn to the affairs of this life to endure for endurance. And we see that in sports all the time, don't we? Somebody just, they don't have that edge anymore. So they go to, they find something that gives them the edge. And they ruin their careers. A lot of men ruin great Hall of Fame careers just because they turned to something that gave them the edge. Listen, as a Christian, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there is no substitute in the world to give us the edge for our personal life and for our personal victory. There's nothing. We will either be a good soldier, or we will not be a good soldier. We'll either follow the rules or we won't. We'll either be in line with him or we'll be disobedient. Disobedience brings problems that I don't want to deal with. As a kid, I didn't like the problems that disobedience brought in my life. But God doesn't miss. Ever. And he knows exactly how to get your attention. I would rather endure the hardness by taking it to him than to entangle myself in the affairs of this life, because no man entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, if you're saved, you did not choose the battle. You didn't. He chose you. He chose you. He put you on the battlefield. He gave you the tools. He gave you the armor. What armor? Ephesians chapter 6, it's there. He gave you the tools. Are you going to be a good soldier? Two things you got to do. Endure hardness. Avoid entanglements. Entanglements weaken you. Entanglements weaken you. Does anybody want to run a race while you're tied to a tree? You do? Awesome. I'll beat you every time. See, what happens in our Christian life is we find things that allure us. And we seek after those things. And it grounds us to the wrong foundation. We can't serve God faithfully if we are giving our heart and our time to worldliness, ungodliness, things that bring about rebellion in our lives. We can't. You tie yourself to the wrong stuff, it will drag you down. And when it comes time to engage in a moment of victory in your life, it will keep you from getting victory. You entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, it weakens you. It'll keep you from getting victory. I don't think any of us would want that. Our victory is in, is our faith is our victory. It is the overcoming faith that we have that God has given us through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ as he shed it on the cross for you and for me. He's given us all that. We can have victory in our life. This world has nothing that can overcome us. Sin has nothing that can overwhelm us. There is no sin known to man that can overwhelm us or overcome us. The only reason it ever will is if we allow ourselves to become entangled. Entanglements can come in all sorts of shapes, sizes, and things. Entanglements can be sin. It can be direct disobedience to God and his word. It can be rebellion. It can be the acts of our pride. It can be works of the flesh. Entanglements can be any number of things. And if we involve ourselves to become entangled with the affairs of this world, it will cause weakness, it will cause distraction, it will cause discouragement, and it will cause a lack of victory, and it will cause, in so many cases, the destruction of a testimony. Entanglements can be sin. Entanglements can be weights. An entanglement can be a weight. Something that might not necessarily be wrong. But if we give it too much time, it can drag our life down. It can decrease our vision. And our focus is not singly on Christ. I don't want to run a race tied to a tree, but I also don't want to run a race with a big old backpack on. I don't want to go get an anchor, strap it to my leg, and start trying to run. I'm not going to get very far. I'm certainly not going to experience victory. Entanglements can be weights. Things that slow us down. When we do not lay aside the weights and we run that race that's set before us, what happens is that there is a plan and a purpose that God has for us, but we've allowed this world to entangle us and slow us down so that we can't fulfill what it is that God desires for us. I honestly don't like losing. I hate losing. Losing is difficult. In the Christian life, the only way we lose is if we allow ourselves to be entangled. And then we can't run the race like we're supposed to. Entanglements can be weights. Things that just slow us down. Things that attract our attention. The affairs of this life can distract us. Listen, if we put more effort to and give more attention to the affairs of this life, we become entangled. Do we understand that thought? If we focus on the affairs of this life, we put more focus on this world than we do to God, we've become entangled. When we turn to the things of this world for security or comfort or help, when the things of this world are the things that we turn to, we have become entangled. And this world can so easily distract us. If we don't turn to God to deal with our hardships, we will become entangled with the world. Again, I'll say this. You will either endure hardship or you will become entangled because of the hardship. The truth is, it's God that has a purpose for our life. You go through hardship, trials, or pain. Now, God doesn't cause sin, but God is fully aware of the difficulties, the hardships that come in our life. God is fully aware. God knows. Because he knows, sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, I don't know why, but I'm willing to trust you. That right there is key. Because really, we have to get ourselves in that position where there might be hardness. There might be things that I need to endure. There might be things that I need to avoid. But the point is not those things. The point is that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If he's chosen us to be a soldier, our point is not enduring. The point is not avoiding. The point is pleasing. We get this right here, there in verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If God's chosen us, if God's chosen me, if God's chosen you, he's the one that's chosen you. He's the one that's conscripted you. He's the one that's brought you to the point where you are in the position to experience victory in your life or experience defeat in your life. He's the one who's brought us to the point in our life where we are in the position where we will either endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, or we will become entangled in the affairs of this life. And instead of enduring the hardness, we will get defeated by the hardness. And the point of any difficulty in our life that God allows is never to defeat us. It is only to point out to us that we just need him a little bit more. That we just need to depend on him more. You know, that's what I like about him. In the battles that we face in our life, it's never about us. It's always about, are you willing to surrender it and let him take control? I can fight the battles if I want to. Why would I fight the battle when he already took care of it and he won the victory? You know why we lose so much? Do you know why we face defeat in our life? We face the defeat so much because we've decided to fight the battle. Sometimes all you got to do, you won. It's good enough for me. You know what I like about the Christian life? I don't have to decide what I should do. Most of my life is just about agreeing with God. He's the captain. He's given the instruction. He's given the orders. I don't have to choose how to fight. I don't have to decide how to fight. I just have to say, yes, sir. I'm on the way. I don't have to determine the objective. I don't have to worry about losing. He already won. All I got to do is say, yes, sir. And this is all that we might please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. Last thought here is just please him. Listen, if you live a life to where your desire is to please God, you will want to endure hardness. Now, you're never going to desire the pain. You're never going to desire the hardship. I doubt we'll ever desire the trial. But when it comes, our desire will be, I want to please him. I want to endure. Because God's doing something. And God's doing something, that means whatever happens on the other side of this is going to be greater than what's over here. Endure hardness, that you might please him. When God does something in our life, he is doing it. I think there's a few songs that make a phrase like this. It's for his glory. There's a phrase I was going to say, but it eluded me. It's for my good and for his glory. God doesn't drag us through the mud for no reason. I don't think he drags us through the mud at all. I think sometimes we feel like we're being dragged through the mud, but that might be because of our attitude. God takes us through points in our life that we might become closer to him. How do you please God? We please God by seeking him, by drawing closer to him, by just simply obeying him. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we please him, we will desire to endure hardness. We won't fear hardness. We won't fear the hardship. If we are living to please him, we will recognize his control and his grace. And I don't know about you, but I appreciate the fact that I can bow before my Heavenly Father and say, I don't know how to handle this. Just guide me. Give me grace. This has got me beat, but it's not got you beat, God. I appreciate that. I need that. That's a reality. If we are seeking to please him, we will desire to endure hardness. If we have a desire to please God, we will avoid entanglements. If we desire to please God, we will avoid entanglements. So whenever we allow ourselves to become entangled in something, it's because we desired the entanglement more than we desired God. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of stings. Because there are things in our life that drag us down, and it's all because we desired it more than God. As a good soldier, don't entangle yourselves in the affairs of this life. Nobody's tough enough to avoid the entanglements. None of us are tough enough to break out of the entanglements. We're to avoid them. And if we get involved, entangled in entanglements, there's only one person who can take care of the entanglements, and that's God. He's the only one who can give freedom. He's the only one who can give free us from bondage. I like Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, things will entangle us. But we've got liberty in Christ that we can stand in, and he gives freedom from entanglements. He gives freedom from sin. He gives healing from pain and from hardship. How do you be a good soldier? This is how you be a good soldier. You endure hardness. The hardness is coming. Hardships will come. Trials will come. Endure it. You endure it by taking it to Christ. You endure it by seeking his face and his and begging for his grace. It's the only way to endure hardness. And if we don't endure hardness like that, it will cause us to become entangled with the affairs of this life. Because I don't know about you, I don't like things that hurt. People need things. People need closure, and people need healing. And we will always seek for those things if we don't have them. Christ offers them. And his healing is perfect. His grace is sufficient. But if we seek somewhere else, instead of his grace that's sufficient, it will cause scars in our life. So the truth is, you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Endure hardness. You want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Avoid entanglements. We cannot fight the fight of faith. Paul, as he told Timothy two chapters after this, I fought a good fight. We cannot fight a good fight if we become entangled with the affairs of this life. Fight a good fight. You want to be a good soldier to get to that point where we hear that, well done, thou good and faithful soldier? Avoid entanglements. You want to be a good soldier? Please him. Please him. If we please him, he'll take care of the rest. If we please him, he'll help us with the hardness. If we please him, he gives victory over the entanglements. Those are essentials to being a good soldier. When we put Christ as the focal point of our life, the outcome can only be great. When he's the focal point of our life, when he's the reason for existence, that's what it's all about. However, if we don't endure the hardness of life, it will overwhelm us. And as it overwhelms us, we will be unprepared or unable to serve the Lord in the capacity that he desires us. We'll be unfit for duty. If we do not endure the hardness, we'll be unfit for duty. If we allow ourselves to become entangled, we will be overwhelmed before the battle even begins. We'll be overwhelmed. If we become so entangled with the affairs of this life, the next hardship that comes our way very well might break us and ruin us and cause shame in our lives. So we need to, which is basic, please him. Just please him. Focus your life on the calling that God has for you. God has a purpose for each of us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There is a purpose, a calling that God has for each and single one of us. And if you don't know what that purpose is, there's a general will of God that we understand. That God wants us to be faithful to the Word of God. He wants us to read the Word of God. He wants us to pray, have fellowship with him. He wants us to be faithful to church. There's basic things that God has given us that we might know how to please him. And we need to focus our life on those things. And we need to determine to enjoy the victory that God has given us. He's given us the victory. We need to determine to walk in that victory. Walking in that victory is what allows us to avoid the entanglements of this life. He's given us the victory. He's given us all that pertain to life and godliness. If we walk in the victory that he gives us, we'll avoid that. But it takes us desiring to please him. We also need to remove ourselves from the things that hinder victory in our life. Remove our things for that create avenues for entanglements. We need to remove ourselves from those things. But I like what verse number 2 says. I'll say this, we need to encourage others to have victory. We need to encourage others to walk in the truth. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, a good soldier encourages those around him. A good soldier, hey, We're in this together. Let's please our Savior. Let's please our King. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. He's got a plan and a purpose, and it's not us doing it by ourselves. It's about us choosing. I'm going to please Him who hath chosen me, and He's chosen you too. He's chosen you. Let's press towards the mark. Let's be good soldiers. It's not just me. It's us. He's chosen us. Let's be good soldiers. We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.